Lord, we just praise you and we glorify you, Father. Thank you, Lord, for this wonderful time that you've gotten us into. And Lord, it's an awesome time. You've got a lot of people in the wilderness already. And we thank you, Father, for bringing us through this with flying colors. It's going to be a test. And thank you, Lord, that you're helping us pass the test. In Jesus' name. And I thank you, Father, for leading us tonight, guiding us tonight, setting a watch before our lips just to speak only as you'd have us to speak, Lord, as an oracle of you. And I thank you for that, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're going to do tonight. We thank you, Father, for being here with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, this is July 4th, but it takes people a few minutes to get all on. Anybody got a prayer request? I do. I'm going to pray. Father God, I just praise you and I thank you for bringing down all the deep state cronies that are in this government. I thank you, Father, for getting rid of all of the deep staters that have tried to turn this country into an anarchist communist country. And I praise you, Father, for all that you've done in your people. And Lord, we thank you for giving us the attributes of your son Jesus to pray the things that you have us to pray. And I thank you for it, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that tonight's we're going to see, after tonight, we're going to see a lot happening in this country that will turn it back around. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Glory be to God. Thank you, Lord, for bringing down the deep state and taking all the money away and giving it to the poor. Amen. Same thing in Canada. They said, we pray that same thing in Canada too, Lord, that you take all the money away from the deep state and give it to the poor. In Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Hey, Benita. Yeah, go ahead, Jimmy.
Father, I praise you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy and your sovereignty. I thank you for all the promises that we have in your word and how great you are, Lord, to watch over your word and to perform it. And I thank you, Lord, that our enemies were defeated. Lord, that you give your angels charge over us to guard us in all of our ways. I pray, God, that every plan and scheme and device of the enemy, any false flag attempts, their anarchy, their lawlessness, the rebellion, destruction, violence, rioting, murder, the raging, all the things that they may plan in these days over the 4th of July weekend or anything to obstruct what the alliance is doing. I cast all that down. I command failure to all of their plans in Jesus' name and whatever is not your will, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you will watch over your word, Lord, and the angels are already going forth to do these things to drain the swamp and bring down the deep state and all that that means and that nobody can escape. I thank you, Lord, for bringing an end to all of this child trafficking, the human trafficking in general, the drug trafficking, the weapon trafficking, all of their black market works of darkness that they use to fund and promote their resources. Father, I command failure to all that. Take it all away, like Michael prayed. Take away all of their tools and their weapons, Lord, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for doing something about the border situation too, Lord. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father, for answering that prayer completely. In Jesus' name. Are you seeing any effects of the people from the border coming up into California?
And where I live and wherever I'm at, I just see the regular stuff around here. My sister who lives in the Midwest, so she was telling me that she sees a lot more immigrant people. Not just your normal average American black, white people. She sees a lot of different nationalities, which is very uncommon and rare. there that she is seeing that those immigrants, more so in the Midwest. I see so many people out here from all nationalities, it, you know, and it has been that way for years, so that doesn't,
okay.
There's nothing new, nothing really new to me there.
Okay. All right. Anybody else got a prayer request? Go ahead, Benita.
Yeah, I just wanted to pray for Jenny. She came out here the day before yesterday because our internet wasn't working right. And she was the tech that came out here. She has a free modem and this and that. And just, she's like, just, it fell off the truck. I don't even know it's here and stuff like that. So like, but our internet is just amazing now. And so we just started talking and she was, you know, she's a Christian. She's the leader of the song group in her church and stuff. And so I grabbed the top page of my hidden manna print out, and I'm like, okay, she was saying to go through the book of Revelation at church. And I'm like, okay, you need to go to this guy's website. You need to listen to his, you know, his hidden manna series if you're going through Revelation, and it'll just blow you away. So I just pray that the other thing that she said, she was trying to explain to her daughter about the Trinity, and it was just so confusing. And I'm like, oh, you've got to go listen to that. Got to hear about and read about, listen to about oneness and Trinity. So, Lord, I just thank you already for leading her there and opening her eyes. She's seeking truth. She wants the truth, Lord, that she would just be, the truth would just be revealed to her there. She said that she was studying the book of Revelation. She had just gotten the John MacArthur book or something like that. So yeah, so she, I would say she's not spirit filled. Definitely not, but she's seeking the truth and she knows that there's a lot of, well, you know, how like being awake, she's awake in a lot of things that we know our faults in the world. So she's seeking that. And this is obviously definitely an opportunity for her to get truth. So Lord, we just thank you for just opening her eyes and giving her that understanding. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just ask that you lead her to the Hidden Manna series that David did with, what's his name on there, Lord, that would capture her interest into the truth of the gospel. We praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Amen.
Lord. Yeah, Jimmy.
Lord, I pray that you fill her with your Holy Spirit, because it is the Spirit who will teach her and give her the truth. Because I, you know, we don't understand things, Lord, until, and you teach us. So Father, I pray that she will seek you and ask you for this gift, and that she gets a hold of this book, that there are things that will jump off the page at her and she'll understand, or whatever, she listens to it or reads it, Lord, that there will be things that really, really are speaking to her, but whatever she doesn't understand, that she will stay with it and seek you for the answers. And if it be your will, Lord, that she'll come back to Benita and for a little more help there, Lord, and she can help her with that. But we really need the gift of the Holy Spirit, Father. We request that for her in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Thank you, Father. That's God. Amen. Okay, anyone else? Anybody got a testimony? Is Ben coming on tonight? Okay. Just running a little late. Okay. All right. Anybody else got something they'd like to share? Okay. I have a song. Thank you.
the shadows deepen with you. But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all anew?
I love that song. That's a good one. Okay. Anybody got anything they'd like to talk about before we get started into Big Metal? Any questions? We're in Caught Up to the Throne, Chapter 6 of Big Metal, as we're skipping around. And I'm thinking we're at the page 2, Man, Child, and Bride tops. That's, I think that's where we're at. And I'm going to read first the paragraph before that particular subtitle. Anybody got any questions as to where we are now?
Michael, does that paragraph begin with the first, second, and third throne experience?
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. That's top of page 2, or middle of page 2, rather.
Yeah, middle of page 2. And it's just above Man, Child, and Bride type subtitle. Okay, did everybody find it? Okay, Benita.
I'm just curious, like before I listen to David talk about caught up to the throne, I just always thought it was a literal caught up to the throne. And, you know, I don't know, I never thought of it any other way, but it makes a lot of sense what he's saying. You know, it's spiritual, like all the other man-childs have gone through a catching up. But it's, I guess, I've never heard anybody else ever talk about it or teach it that way. I just, there must be somebody else that sees that or understands that. Just never heard it anywhere else. So there must be other man-childs that understand that. You know what I mean? Just,
not really.
I don't know what I'm asking. I'm just, yeah.
I'm not really. Are you saying that David doesn't teach that there is a physical throne experience what are you saying?
No, just that in Revelation 12, when they talk about the man-child being caught up to the throne, I always thought it would, well, I was pre-trib at the time, and so I always thought it was a literal, there was no man-child that stayed on the earth. He was literally caught up and at the beginning of the tribulation, and he wasn't here on earth.
Yeah.
But that's just a spiritual catching up to the throne. But I mean, like we, you know, David mentions there's, you know, world. So somebody else must have that revelation too. I've just never heard it before.
Yeah.
But well, just, I'm just surprised I just haven't heard it before, but it makes sense.
Oh, yeah. I think I understand what you're saying. Okay.
I'm not asking a question. I'm just like impressed that he was able to. Yeah. See that.
Yeah,
dude. Well, I would just add to that. It's like, you know, not many people have the revelation of the man child or who the man child is. So, I mean, that's a gift, you know, of wisdom, knowledge, you know, that the Lord gave David just to be able to teach it and understand what's going to happen in the end times as part of the hidden manna. That is the hidden manna, he who overcomes, right? You know, that the Lord's gifted him with that, you know. So there's a multitude of people don't understand that. So, yeah. You know.
Amen. All right, Andrew.
I've heard of other people who believe in the post-tribulation rapture. But as to what else they believe, I don't really know. Like, there's a person I know who lives over in Paul, and he has, they believe in the post-tribulation rapture too. He's the twin brother of the one who witnessed him. So he's a post-tribber. So, but what else he believes, I don't know. I haven't talked to him in a long time. I used to eat lunch with him when I worked with him. The subject of their, like he worked in a different department. But I did find out that I was looking for other post-tribulation rapture people. I found some on the internet. just some other sites. That's about it. Just wanted to make that statement.
As I was looking also before I met David, got onto his site, I had ran across a book that I had read that was post-tribulation that basically had some of the same verses that David did, not exactly, but similar, and that turned me on to post-tribulation then. And then I came on to David's and found, I can't remember that name of that book. It was a good book, too. But anyway, David had actually the most complete hidden manna, end time prophetic word that I had never come across anybody like this before. Is anybody else? As thoroughly as David has approached it. But anyway. All right, let's get started. The first, second, and third throne experience correlate to the regeneration and empowering of the spirit, soul, and body of the man-child. In order to prove these phases in the life of the man-child, we are first going to look at brief outlines of a few of the first fruit types. If we fully explained these brief types, this chapter would be a big book in itself. Keep in mind that the types are shown in the natural, but fulfilled spiritually. After this, we will look into the nature of these throne experiences and explain the typology more fully, man, child, and bride types. The first thing we discover from the types of the man, child is that he has a history before being anointed. There's a lot of, now, as we talked about before, there are some people out there that are calling themselves a part of the man-child. And I don't know anything about them other than they just call themselves that. And David goes on and says, many are claiming this office without any such history. For instance, Moses, Abraham, David, Joseph, etc., faithfully kept the flocks that represent God's people before coming to rule with the greater anointing of their first throne experience. With this knowledge of the following types of this experience, with this knowledge of the following types of this experience will be in right perspective. Jesus was born of the woman, Israel, and was first to receive the former reign anointing of the Holy Spirit as his first throne experience. That's the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was tried in his own wilderness experience for 40 days and anointed to lead Israel, Luke 4:18. Kings received this anointing in the Old Testament as a type for the man-child ministry. 1 Samuel 2:10, 10:1, 10:16, or 10 verses, chapter 10 verses 1 and 10, and then chapter 16 and verse 13. In 1 Samuel 16:13, David was anointed with the Holy Spirit to sit in the throne as king over Israel, as a type for Jesus and the man-child. Luke 1:32. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Jesus' work was to rule through Israel, bringing the disciples through the wilderness that he had been tried in. The word wilderness is translated desert in the Gospels. This is where Jesus taught, fed, and delivered the people from the curse. In type, he was then crucified to self, glorified, and called up to the second throne experience. He then returned to minister to the disciples for 40 days, representing the 40 years between his resurrection and when the harlot Israel was destroyed in 70 AD. And at this time, the disciples who were alive and remained fled to the mountains, representing the promised land or heaven. In type, this is when Jesus, who promised to be with him to the end of the age, was called up to the third throne experience, which we will explain more carefully later. Has anybody got any questions? I'm going to try to go slow, so if anybody has any questions, you can just go ahead and interrupt me. Joseph was born of the woman, Israel, and was tried in his own wilderness experience. And as a type of the first fruits, he was favored more than all of his brethren by his father Jacob, whose regenerate name was Israel. Israel represented God to Joseph because, according to Strong's Concordance, his name means he will rule as God, and he was also the father of all corporate Israel, just as Christ is the head of all corporate true Christianity. At this time, Joseph received two revelations that all of Israel bowed down to him as ruler in a type of the first throne experience, Genesis 37:1-10. Joseph also brought the bad report of his brethren's evil doings before his father, like Elijah did at his throne experience on the mountain. Joseph was rejected by his own people. Genesis 37:2-4, 11, 18, 23, and 28. And the Egyptians. Like Jesus, he was falsely accused by the harlot, Potiphar's wife, and cast into prison where he preached unto the spirits in prison. 1 Peter 3:19. As a type of the dead. In type, by Joseph's word, the butler was resurrected and the baker was condemned. Also like Jesus, he was then called up to the throne of Egypt as a type of the world in a second throne experience. Genesis 41:43-44. Joseph preserved the people of God through the 7 years of famine, which was their own wilderness tribulation experience, 54 and 57. In type, he then went to the promised land with Israel in the totally dead-to-self state, for they carried his remains with them after 400 years of bondage as a type of the tribulation. Genesis 15:13-15, verses 24 and 25. This was a type of going to the heavenly promised land in a third throne experience. Abraham was born from Babylon, and having left Lot in the sin cities of the plain, went through his wilderness to the heavenly promised land, which the Lord gave him as an inheritance and type of the first throne experience. Genesis 13:11-15. He then returned from the promised land to deliver Lot, a citizen of Sodom, who had been taken captive by the kings, which is a type of the man-child, delivering the saints in the world, who will have been taken captive by the 10-king beast of Revelation. After delivering Lot, he went to the heavenly promised land and saw Melchizedek in the king's veil, Genesis 14:17-18. Hebrews 7:1 says, "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of God Most High, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham divided a tenth part of all, being first by interpretation, king of righteousness, and then also king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually." This clearly makes Melchizedek a type of Jesus, who after receiving his new body is totally born from above and has no earthly genealogy. in type, Abraham, as the man child, went to see the Lord in this third throne experience. Anybody got any question? You understand what's going on. That's good. Elijah went through the wilderness and was called up to the Mount of God as his first throne experience in 1 Kings 19, verses 4 and 8. He then returned to the wilderness to teach Elisha, who represents the woman in Revelation 12 and 6. And in 16 through 17 verses. Also in 2 Kings 2, 4, and 6 through 14, Elijah makes a special trip to the wilderness to pass on his mantle to Elisha. And then Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind, second throne experience. Elisha, as the woman church, then faces 42 lads or youths from Bethel, meaning the house of God, who persecute him in verses 23 and 24. This is a type of the persecution of the witnesses by immature apostates from the church in the last 42 months or 3.5 years of tribulation. These 42 lads representing the harlot were torn by the bears or beast exactly as in Revelation 17, 16, and 17. John on the Isle of Patmos was a type of the man child. He told the church that he was a partaker with you in the tribulation, Revelation 1 and 9. As we saw in the last chapter, he was called up to the throne of God and given a revelation of the tribulation wilderness. And he was also given a revelation of the apostasy in the church and told to share his revelation with seven angels who were to give it to the seven churches, Revelation and all of those. Angel in this case, in these cases, is the Greek word angelos, meaning messenger, and is also used of ministers in the New Testament. The equivalent Hebrew word in the Old Testament is translated messenger when speaking of ministers, Malachi 2 and 7. John the Baptist and Jesus, 3 and 1. Since it doesn't make sense that John sent the revelation to the churches by angels, he must have sent it by seven minister messengers, who in turn shared it with the seven churches. This is exactly what Jesus, the man child, did. He shared his revelation with minister messengers who shared it with the seven churches in Acts and in the Word. Any question? Ezekiel was consistently called Son of Man as a type of Jesus, the man-child. He was also called up to the throne, Ezekiel 1:26, and anointed with the Spirit of God for ministry, chapters 2 and 2, chapter 2 and verse 2. Like John, the man-child in Revelation, Ezekiel was given a vision of the four living creatures and revelations of the seven-year tribulation and captivity. Image of the beast, abomination of desolation, mark of God, the corporate false prophet, the beast kingdom's attack on the people of God and their destruction, the wars between the nations, the restoration of God's people to the kingdom, the measurements of the restored spiritual temple of God, the coming of the Lord as the prince and his inheritance given to the saints. What are the chances of John and Ezekiel receiving the same revelation to bring to the church? I don't know. Okay. Moses was born of the woman Israel and was tried in his own wilderness experience for 40 years. Just as Jesus was for 40 days. Then he ascended the mountain of God where he was given authority and anointing to bring Israel through the wilderness to the same mountain again, just like Jesus. This was a type of his first own experience Moses then brought Israel halfway through their wilderness by distance, which is a type of 3.5 years of the tribulation, and again ascended the mountain in a second throne experience. Again, like Jesus, here he was, glorified in soul because his face shone. Both Moses and Jesus were in the second throne experience for 40 days. That's the number of tribulation. Moses then continued to bring Israel through the wilderness for 40 years to the promised land, which, as we have seen, Jesus also did in type. Here Moses ascended the mountain where spiritually his old man died, as he was caught up to the heavenly promised land, as Israel also entered the promised land. This was a type of his third throne experience, as we have seen. Even though there are different stages and levels of walking in the presence of God, all fully enter the kingdom in their new body at the same time. 1 Corinthians 15:51 says, we all shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Moses and Aaron, when seen together, are a clear type of the first and second man child, on opposite ends of the New Testament. And as we have seen, Moses typified the first man child, Jesus. Moses, like Jesus on the cross, put to death the Egyptian, typifying the old man, and left Egypt as a type of the world to marry a Gentile bride who was one of 7 daughters, like the favored Philadelphia church, Exodus 2:12-21. Jesus, as the first New Testament man-child, will be met many years later in the kingdom by the second man-child of the end time, in the same way Moses, as the first man-child, was met many years later on the mountain of God by Aaron, which represents the first own experience of the second man-child in the end time. Y'all keeping up with what I'm saying? I hope. Okay, good deal. It's kind of, it's laying it out, and he's answering those questions that we had the other night about the second, third throne experience for the man child. Okay, clearly Moses typified God who spoke through Aaron, just as Jesus is God and will speak through the second end time man child. The man child of our day will be listening to Jesus, just like Jesus listened to the Father. We're going to be listening to Jesus. He's our head, isn't he? He's our head. Exodus 4:16, and he shall be thy spokesman unto the people, and it shall come to pass that he shall be to thee a mouth, and thou shalt be to him as God. And the Lord said unto Moses, see, I have made thee as God to Pharaoh, and Aaron thy brother shall be thy prophet. Aaron, as the second man-child, received his authority and instructions from Moses on that mountain and returned to save the woman in Egypt. In the same way, the second end-time man-child will receive his authority and instructions from Jesus and return to save the women, a woman in the world. Who's the woman? That's the church, right? Okay. Revelation 14:1, and I saw, and behold, the Lamb standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Notice that Aaron, as the second man child, actually does the speaking and the signs in Egypt, but behind him is Moses, as Jesus given authority. Exodus 4:30 says, and Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. The chain of authority to bring the woman out of the world and through the wilderness is from the Father to Jesus to the end time man child. of Revelation 12. That's the way it's going to come. That's the reason that Jesus went to the cross to be our head and to show us how to walk this walk that he's got us all on right now. All right. David says we need to lay a foundation before sharing the types of the bride being called up to the throne. The bride, although a different parable than the man-child, includes the man-child. David represented the man-child as he sat on the throne. David's throne was called the throne of the kingdom, 1 Kings 1:46-47. The son of David was told that his throne was God's throne on earth. 2 Chronicles 9:8. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighted in thee to set me on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God. And since the man child is the first fruits of Christ in you, the hope of glory, then the bridegroom lives in the man child. This is the spiritual throne to which the man child is called up. And this makes him the earthly head of the body of the bride. For he will rule in the capital city of spiritual Jerusalem, which represents the bride. Revelation 21:9, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the wife of the Lamb. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high and showed me the holy city Jerusalem. And I'll point out later how this whole spiritual kingdom is growing in the earth at this time. Notice that the man-child, as head, is always typed as a man in scriptures. And the commands of the New Testament agree. 1 Corinthians 11:3. But I will have you know that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is the man. 1 Timothy 2:12. But I permit not a woman to teach, nor to have dominion over a man, but to be in quietness. This was obeyed in that neither Jesus nor his disciples ordained women as elders. The Greek in a man child in Revelation 12:5 is literally a son, a male. The word man rarely comes from the actual word for male in scriptures, but here it does. And it's true that there is only one body. Galatians 3:28. There can be no male and female, for ye all are one man in Christ Jesus. It is also true that different members of that one body, whether men, women, servants, children, etc., have distinct rules in the New Testament which must be obeyed to be in the bride or the man's side. Anyone who would like to look further into this can read extensive biblical proof in our article, The World, Women, and Authority, on our site. Okay, does anybody else want to read a while? Okay. On the other hand, Jerusalem, which we see as the bride, was made up of both men and women. David, who ruled in Jerusalem, was also a member of the larger bride body. This capital city and its people, which represented the greater bridal throne, will enter into the nature, character, and authority of Jesus to a greater degree than the rest of the church, represented by the 12 tribes outside of Jerusalem. Jeremiah 3:17, at that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord. And all the nations, Hebrew Gentiles, shall be gathered into it. In other words, all the Gentiles shall be gathered into it to the name, which means nature, character, and authority, of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the stubbornness of their evil heart. Notice that this end-time throne is for the bride, who is being gathered out of all nations through her submission to the throne of David. this gives greater meaning to the statement of Jesus. He that overcomes, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne, Revelation 3:21. All right, do we have any questions or any comments? Boy, y'all are getting this. That's awesome. Do you have a question, Andrew? Or my comment? Okay. All right. Jesus, as a bridegroom, came in a body of the son of David and was anointed to rule on the spiritual throne of David. Those separated from the apostate people of God and learned to submit to his leadership or headship were typed as the bride by John. John 3:29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. The man-child Jesus quickly taught the bride to come into her kingdom authority under him. The end-time man-child is also the spiritual body of the son of David, in whom Jesus, the bridegroom, lived, and will raise up the bride into the kingdom authority of her throne. This also shows us how the groom will celebrate the marriage feast with the bride on earth for the last 7 years. And what's considered by many a strange verse points this out. Speaking of Jerusalem, the bride, the Lord said, for as a young man marries a virgin, so shall thy sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. Isaiah 62:5. Notice that the sons of God are not only born of the church, but of the more faithful bride body within her, and they as the earthly body of the bridegroom from heaven are used by the Lord to fellowship with his bride during the marriage feast on earth. The man-child is comprised of the firstborn sons of God in whom Jesus lived, who are the head of the bride's body. Just as Jesus is the spiritual head of the bride, so the man-child is his earthly body, head, in whom he dwells. The Hebrew custom of the marriage feast is a spiritual picture that shows the bride in royal apparel sitting on her throne for 7 years, next to the king on her throne, before going to the king's house in heaven. And once again, I'll reference the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, page 97, on the marriage. My notes are in parentheses. Okay. Has anybody got any questions or answers to anything? Y'all get it?
I can read if you want.
Okay, I'd be here. Let me say something here. Does anybody have any questions about the first, second, and third throne experience of the man child? Are you everybody understanding about what goes on during those three times in the man child ministry? You don't understand it? Okay.
I don't understand the point of them. I just don't understand the point of them.
Okay. Okay, let's see if I can do this. The first throne experience was just like Jesus when he got baptized in the Holy Spirit and anointed to do the work that he had to do. That's going to be the same thing. He got anointed with the former rain. The latter rain goes to the man child, which includes the former rain and the latter rain. On the first throne experience. That's what we just read in the first of this, particular subject. And then that's to be able to teach and to lead the bride and all of that, and to help with the revival. The second throne experience, let me get my thinking right here. The second throne experience is when Jesus, if you remember, went up to heaven. He He told Mary, he said, you can't touch me right now. I said, I got to go up and get my next anointing. He didn't say that because what he did. He went up there and he got the second anointing, which was the glorified body. You remember that? He came down and he ministered to the disciples and a bunch of others during that time. The same thing is going to happen to the man-child ministry on the second throne experience. They're going to go up and they're going to get this glorified body and be coming back down to minister to the second, probably the second man-child ministry. That's going to be at the 3.5 year mark. So that's when that'll probably take place. The third throne experience is when everybody goes up and stays there. The rapture at the end, at the very end. So it's, and that's just a simplified explanation of what's going on with the throne experiences. So at the first, at the 3.5 years, after 3.5 years of the man child being on the earth, he's going to be resurrected to get that glorified body. Because the last 3.5 years is going to be, the Gentiles' door is going to be closed, and it opens up the doors for the Jewish people to come into the kingdom as well. He's going to open that up, and that's going to be a part of the second man-child ministries, I suspect. Yeah, Megan?
Well, praise you all.
I just stopped on page 8.
Okay.
I think I did, didn't I?
We're at the top of page 9.
Oh, okay.
Can I ask a question? How come I only see 4 people on my screen here?
You got to get a bigger screen, I guess. I don't know.
There's 4 people with their pictures in view. If you go up to the view, that little box up there says view.
Yeah.
And change it to gallery, you'll see everybody.
I only see 5 people.
They all have faces, right?
Yeah.
See where it says view?
Yeah, I hit that, you know, but I only like have 5 people, but it says 11.
You see where it says speaker, gallery, multi-speaker, hide non-participant, hide non-video participants? Uncheck that box.
Okay, sorry.
You see everybody now?
Okay.
Yeah, I see 11 people now. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. All right. Does anybody else got a question?
I just wanted to add a little bit to what Michael said, if I can. But sure. What helps me understand that is kind of like Jesus is our example for everything. And he had to overcome everything before he could be a leader, right? He got to get that anointing before he could and overcome the temptations in his own wilderness with the devil. And he was anointed to do that. And so he could lead his people out of the apostate system. And he had all that teaching, the anointing and everything. So I think like the throne room experiences is just getting that the anointing and more power. And more wisdom and more understanding and the spiritual growth and all that to lead people through perilous times that you're coming into. So it's like they need that. They need that. They have, geez, like Jesus overcame sin and death. And that's what the man-child is doing, right? He's overcoming sin and death in order to get that greater anointing that's coming. And that teaches us, and he teaches us how to do that.
Amen. One thing that I don't know if y'all missed this, but when I got down into underneath the man-child of God type, the first thing we discovered from the type of the man-child is that he has a history before being anointed as a man-child. And that history is your fruit that you're doing. You're helping, bring people into the kingdom, what have you, teaching, whatever it is. Mostly it's just faith. Mostly it's just faith. Okay, Jenny, if you will, go ahead and read.
Bob, Anita has a question.
Oh, okay.
No, I was just going to say, Ben, you were saying, like, what's the purpose of it? What's the point of it? And so the point of going through all, and correct me if I'm wrong, this is my understanding of it, but going through all the different examples of the man-childs and when their first and second throne experiences is to help us prepare for how it's going to be revealed in the end in our time. So we know what to look for. This, we know that, there's going to be a first and second and third man-child experience that we're going to see as we go through the tribulation. And we can, like a sign, these are signs to look for of the times. So that's why we're studying it, to know what to look for. Does that make sense? That's the point of it.
Yeah, there's only going to be two ways of the man child out there. That's going to be just two of those. With the type of shadows that we see, we talked about Moses and Aaron, and we talked about a couple of more that I was about to get. But anyway, that's all it's going to be, is two. It looks like God could do anything he wants to, but that's what we're seeing as a type. So amen. Yeah, and the man child is going to be the teacher. He's going to be the one that guides people. And he's going to be guided by Jesus. He'll be guided by Jesus. He's going to go up and get his instructions, come back down, and his anointed, come back down, ready to go to work. He's going to be asking the Lord. Just like Jesus said. Jesus said, what did he say? He said, I don't do anything unless I ask my Father. He shows me what I need to do. And that's the same thing with Jesus. That's why Jesus said, I'm the head, you're the body. I'm going to be doing all the thinking, you're going to be doing all the doing. And that's why he tells us in James to be a doer of the word, right? It's just somebody that reads it. We have to be a doer of the word. You can't have a revival of somebody that's not a doer of the word, which is praying and studying, teaching people, doing all the things necessary to bring about a revival. One of the main things is praying and believing. Okay, any more? Any more comments? You got a comment on there? Okay. Jimmy, if you would, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. So Michael just got done reading at the end of this paragraph. It says, once again, I reference the Zondervan Pictorial Encyclopedia of the Bible, page 97 under marriage. And David's notes are in parentheses. So in this book, where it starts, the bridegroom was the king for a week. And David's note, which is the 7-year wedding feast. During the whole week, their majesties wore their festal clothes. And David's note is, as they sat on their thrones. They did not work and merely looked on at the games, except that now and then the queen joined in a dance, accompanied by his friends. David's note is, John the Baptist was a friend of the bridegroom in John 3:29. With tambourines and a band as they went to the bride's house, David's note, which is obviously on earth, where the wedding ceremonies were to start. The bride richly dressed, adorned with her jewels, usually worn a veil. David's note symbolizing submission, 1 Corinthians 11:5-13, which she took off only in the bridal chamber, escorted by her companions, which are the virgins. The bride was led to the home of the bridegroom, which is in heaven. This shows, This shows that the bride is already chosen before she sits on the throne at the beginning of the 7 days, through which time she is being perfected. Notice that after sitting on the throne with her Lord for the 7 days/years of the feast representing the tribulations, on the 8th day, the day of circumcision, when the flesh is cut off, they all go to the bridegroom's home in heaven. Also notice that neither the virgins nor the friends of the bridegroom are on their throne during these last seven days and years, only the bride. Even though we all have been given that position through the promises of God, not all will walk by faith and obedience to manifest it. The whole church is fond of calling itself the bride, but far fewer will overcome to sit on the throne. As we have already seen, the one who sits on the throne is betrothed to the king and has all the rights and inheritance as though she were married. So let's look again at the relationship of the man-child head and the body of the bride. The story of Esther is a prophecy of the end-time bride being caught up to the authority of the throne under the authority and training of the man-child. Throughout this story, Mordecai represents the head and man-child. The Talmud lists him as a prophet in Megillah 15. Mordecai means little man in Hebrew and little boy in Persian, both of which mean man-child. Mordecai was in the place of the throne before Esther, Esther 2:5. There was a certain Jew in Shushan the palace whose name was Mordecai. Not only was his place in the palace, but he is mentioned 9 times in various ways as sitting at the king's gate, or said to be one of the king's servants that were in the king's gate. The king, of course, represents Jesus, and the king's gate was the place of the government, the place of judges and counselors. It is likely that all of the subjugate nations under Ahasuerus or Xerxes had representatives to the king there, just as the 7 princes of Persia and Media, verse 1:14, were there. Mordecai was probably the head of God's people, since the Jews were twice called the people of Mordecai in chapter 3:6. Just pausing if anyone has anything.
Joe's got a question. Go ahead, Joe.
Michael, a little bit earlier you're talking about also neither the virgins nor the friends of a bridegroom are on the throne during the last 7 days. Where are they at that moment?
I didn't understand the question, Joe.
The virgins and the maidens, where are they during the 7 days?
Virgins and a bride are friends of a bridegroom.
Where are they? On,
yeah.
I don't think it talks about this yet. Right. Yeah. I don't think he touches that here.
Where are they? At what point in time is he talking about?
Like during the 7 years?
During what? On the throne. Well, you're talking about on the throne. Sorry, yeah, Michael.
Okay.
The bride is being led by the man-child.
Yeah.
And if he's being led by the man-child, he's being taught by the man-child. The bride is being taught by the man-child at that particular time.
Well, the bride's on the throne, but the virgins and the maidens, they're not on the throne. I would assume maybe in the king's palace. I don't know. They're in the city.
They ministered to them as well.
Yeah.
Well,
but only the bride.
Yeah. Okay.
But only the I'm sorry, only the bride and Esther was the one chosen to go into the king's palace. The other women who were in the house of the women, they remained in the house of the women. In that
once the bride is chosen, I don't know if this is where you're going, but once the bride is chosen, there's not going to be another, excuse me, another bride after that. The door is closed. Once the tribulation starts, the virgins and the, what was the other one?
The maidens, friend the of, virgins,
friend,
and friend, the
companions. Friend of a bridegroom.
The friend of a bridegroom.
Well, like I said, if they're not in the bride, what I understand, the bride is chosen, the man child is chosen, they're not going to be anymore until the second group of man child is brought in up 2.5 years. But as far as the bride goes, the bride is chosen, that's it. The rest of them are not going to be able to be in the bride. You know why the bride is special? Does anybody know why the bride is special? I'll tell you why. Because they go through the wilderness before the tribulation, just like the man child. They're going through the tribulation now.
They're going through their trials and suffering in the flesh and overcoming and
learning. Man.
Yeah, they're learning to overcome their sin nature now.
From the man-child ministry, believe it or not. Yeah.
And I was just thinking.
And
sorry.
The reason that they're doing, the Lord is doing that, the bride is going to be special. And of course, the man-child comes up with the bride. The bride is going to be special in the sense that, as David talked about the other night, they are going to be impervious to all attacks against them. I know that sounds, they're going to be protected. Let me put it that way. The bride is going to be protected. The man child is going to be protected throughout the whole 7 years of tribulation. Mm-hmm. The virgins, what's the other one? Companions? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Everybody the else. Oh, the bridegroom.
Hey, Joe, you know, there's that parallel, the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins where, you know, they had their lamps lit, but the other ones didn't. And they're not the bride, right? David's taught that.
Yeah.
But they're invited to the marriage feast. Like everybody, like the church is invited to the marriage feast. Everybody, you know, come to my, they're called, they're invited. Yeah. Come to my son's wedding, you know, but they all made excuses. They're like, not everybody's there, you know. Not everyone's making it a priority. So, but they're still like, to me, that represents
the bride and the man child ministry have given up everything. They have surrendered to the Lord completely. And that's what makes the difference between them and everybody else. And like we've been talking about here for years now, let's go ahead and surrender everything. Give it all to the Lord. It makes no difference, you know, if I got this and I got that. It's like Judy said a while ago, that's not an excuse that the Lord is going to honor. He wants you to give it all up. Drop everything and go to Him. And that's what the bride situation is. And the man-child. And like David has said, the man-child comes out of the bride. Everybody does the same thing. And that is, give it all to the Lord. And when you give it all to the Lord, you'll be the bride. The bride, in my estimation, isn't already chosen until, excuse me, until the tribulation starts. That's my take on it. I could be mistaken. I don't think I am, but I think that's when we do it. So what I'm saying is, if you want to be in the bride or the man-child ministry, start dying to self, getting rid of the flesh and the world. The world doesn't mean anything to you. It's all the flesh, mm-hmm. It shouldn't matter, whatever it is. It's coming up before you. Well, I got to do this, like you said. I just married and I got to go and do this. Give it up. What's more important? And that's what God's telling us. I'm not about trying to put condemnation. I'm just telling you what it's going to be. That's what God's looking for. He's looking for people to give everything to Him. That doesn't mean just drop everything and come running, you know. All it means is don't sit there in front of the TV when you can be in the Word of God. Don't sit in front of a movie when you can be in the Word of God. Don't, you know, just stuff like that. I'll tell you something else. God's got a lot of grace, too. He's got a lot of grace. There's going to be people in the bride that we didn't think were going to be in the bride, I believe. And the man-child ministry. The man-child ministry is leadership. And like the word said, like David said, mm-hmm. there's not going to be any women in there. Mm-hmm. It's all going to be men. And there's a reason that the Lord did it that way. And if you read Word, Women, and Authority, you'll find out. But as far as the bridegroom and maidens and all of them, virgins. Well, the bridegroom, I got to think about who the bridegroom is. Who is the bridegroom? Yeah.
John the Baptist?
I was a friend.
He's a friend of a bridegroom, yeah.
He was a friend.
Jesus
was a bridegroom.
Yeah, you're so sorry. Yeah, you're bridegroom. Yeah. Can I just say something, Michael?
Sure.
I think it makes it clear for myself now. I understand now. It's at this moment in time, the church, when the tribulation starts, the bride comes out of the church when it's anointed, and out of a bride comes the man-child. In other words, when the friend of a bridegroom and the virgin is still in a church. Is that right or not?
The man child is going to be is already picked before the tribulation. The bride is picked before the tribulation. Because the man child leads the bride into the tribulation.
Right.
So
I think
God brings Jesus.
Yeah.
I think, I believe. Okay. I hope y'all understand what we're saying here.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, where are we at?
This governmental head. Benita's got her hand up.
Oh, Benita, go ahead.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the maidens and the virgins. And so, like you were saying, Michael, there's the man-child, and then he trains the bride, and that's before. Well, so the maidens and the virgins, are they the ones that they were in the church, but through tribulation, they're coming out? They didn't make the bride, but now they're starting to come out because they're in the tribulation now. And that tribulation is tribulating them out of the church. So would so those that are coming out could be the maidens and the virgins and those people.
Yeah. That could be. Yeah, absolutely. We'll probably get into that a little bit later. It's been a few years since I've been in here. But I read it for, you know, I bet I read that thing a half a dozen times and listened to it. All right, Julie.
I think too, isn't like if you look at type and shadow for John the Baptist, who was, you know, the friend of the bridegroom, he had his ministry to a certain point, even through the first, you know, first part of Jesus' ministry until his part was done and he fulfilled his calling. I mean, that was what his calling was repentance, right? So I think he's in type and shadow, those John the Baptist type, you know, preachers are still going to be preaching repentance, you know, and getting people's attention too. I think
we'll get into that with the two witnesses. I believe we'll get into a lot of that.
Yeah, that was just coming to me that John the Baptist was there for a while until he had fulfilled his calling. So this governmental head over God's people represents the man-child. It is he that nourishes the bride with the beauty and wisdom that comes from the word until she comes to the throne, as Esther did in chapter 2:7. And he brought up in Hebrew, which is nourished, Hadassah, that is Esther. Even when Esther came to the throne, she was under the headship of Mordecai. Chapter 2:20. Esther had not yet made known her kindred nor her people as Mordecai had charged her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai, like as when she was brought up with him. It was Mordecai who sent to charge her that she should go in unto the king to make supplication unto him and to make requests before him for her people. Chapter 4:8. This intercession of the bride was to save the people who represent the larger church body from Haman, who represents the beast. For some, this battle represents the saving of the inner spiritual man from the beastly carnal nature who will seek to kill him. For others, whose carnal man is already dead, this will represent their deliverance from the world beast. The time came when the king took from the beast this his symbol of authority to persecute God's wayward people and gave it instead to Mordecai to save them. Chapter 8:2. And the king took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, and gave it to Mordecai. And even though Esther had been given the house of Haman, she willingly gave Mordecai the authority over it. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of Haman. At this time, the king said, verse 8, write ye also to the Jews as it pleases you in the king's name and seal it with the king's ring, for the writing which is written in the king's name and sealed with the king's ring, may no man reverse. Mordecai, the man-child, passed on the authority of the king to God's people to stand on the word and save their lives, just as Jesus did to his disciples. Verse 9. And it was written according to all that Mordecai commanded unto the Jews, wherein the king granted the Jews that were in every city to gather themselves together and to stand for their life, to destroy, to slay, and to cause to perish all the power of the people and province that would assault them. And God's people will learn that they are not under the curse of sin or death, and that the word is their sword to defend them. The man-child and the church under him will walk in greater and greater authority of King Jesus to destroy the kingdom of the beast with the power of the word. Chapter 9:4. For Mordecai was great in the king's house, and his fame went forth throughout all the provinces. For the man Mordecai waxed greater and greater. And the Jews smote all their enemies with the stroke of the sword, and the slaughter and destruction, and with slaughter and destruction, and did what they would unto them that hated them. Verse 10, chapter 10, 2, and all the acts of his power and of his might and the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, whereunto the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? For Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus and great among the Jews, and accepted of all the multitude of his brethren, seeking the good of his people and speaking peace to all of his seed.
Okay, hold on. Anybody got any questions here or any comments? Do you understand what he's talking about here? Yeah?
It's such a great story.
Yeah. It is. You see where it says, God's people will learn that they are not under the curse of sin or death, and that the word is their sword to defend it. We all know that, but do you do it? Do you walk in it? And the way to walk in it is to keep confessing it. Keep confessing it, who you are in Christ. The word tells you to confess. The Christian is to his walk is to confess who he is all the time. And it don't make any difference who's sitting around you. And if they say to you, you know, well, you look like you got a cold. You got a cold? Nope. I don't have a cold. That's God, because God said, by his stripes I am healed. I've already been healed 2,000 years ago. And that's what's going to happen in the days to come. What if you go out there? I'm trying to teach a little bit about confessing your faith all the time. Once you confess it, it'll get into your spirit and you'll understand it. The more you confess it, you'll understand who you are in Christ. And when all of these plagues hit, you're going to do like Lake did. When they asked him, he said, how come you don't have a mask on? How come you don't wear gloves? How come you don't do all this stuff that we do to keep all this things done? What did he quote to him? Romans 8 and 2. That's what he quoted to him. And that's what we've got to learn, to walk in that particular anointing. And to do that, you have to get who you are in Christ in you by confessing that word all the time. Confessing, by his stripes I'm healed. I have the mind of Christ. Nothing. Take that Esau like I did. I take that Esau with me everywhere I go. Not Esau, but that sword of the Lord, I believe it's called. Something comes up. Here it is, right here. It is written. And you won't be, the fear will have no place in you. When this time comes, fear will not have any place whatsoever in you when you understand who you are in Christ. All right. Does anybody want to give Julie a break and read some? Come on, Ben. Okay, Ben. Thank you.
There it is. There's the button. Now that we see the relationship of the man-child to the bride, let's look at an outline of bride types that coordinates with the man-child types above. Remember that we will explain the spiritual nature of the throne. Sorry, just lost it for a second. Remember that we will explain the spiritual nature of the throne experiences later. Esther, along with all the fair virgins of the kingdom, were gathered into the house of the woman to see whom Ahasuerus, the king, would choose as his bride, chapter 2, verse 2 to 3. For taking advantage of everything the king's chamberlain, as a type of the Holy Spirit, provided, She was loved above all the virgins and made queen in her first throne experience, 13 to 17. After this time, the king promoted Haman as a type of the dragon slash beast, 3:1, over the people of God as another type of the beginning of the tribulation. The beast then decided to crucify all the people of God, 3:6, and with the permission of the king, set a date to begin this. This date represents the middle of the tribulation. It is here that Esther appeared before the king in a second throne experience to intercede for her people. 5:1-3. She received authority with Mordecai to speak for the king and gave authority to the people to stand for their lives and slay the beast kingdom. 8:8-11. This will happen from the middle of the tribulation until the day of the Lord, when the bride has fully entered the kingdom in a third throne experience. Then the destruction of the beast will continue as it destroys itself in civil war. The Shulamite bride was born of the woman, Israel. Songs of Solomon, 3:4, 8:5. Tried her own wilderness experience of being rejected by her own people and was caught up in a first throne experience, 6:12. From there, she returned, 13, to care for God's vineyard, the virgins, concubines, and queens, 7:10-13, who represent the rest of the church or the woman. They are also typed as her little sister who comes to maturity through her ministry, 8:8-12. Within the bride is the new leadership for God's people, which will be used by God to bring them to maturity, 21:41. She then was caught up to the third throne experience. Then she married Solomon. We will speak of the bride in Psalm 45, who fulfills the same type in 7, maturity and harvest. As we have seen, the church goes through 7 years of tribulation called the wilderness. 12:6, 17:3. Joseph, as a man child, fed Israel through 7 years of famine. Foreshadowing the tribulation, Moses, as the man child, fed Israel halfway through the wilderness by distance, representing the first 3.5 years. Here he faced God on his mountain in a second throne experience and was glorified when his face shone. 34:29-35. He then took them the rest of the way to the promised land, representing the second 3.5 years. Only then did the manna from the heaven cease, for then in type they entered fully into the kingdom of heaven and no longer needed it. 5:12. Jesus, as the man child, took born again Israel 3.5 years into their wilderness before also being glorified. This also represents halfway through the tribulation. In order to fulfill the same type as Joseph and Moses, who went all the way through the tribulation, Jesus would have had to continue his ministry after his glorification, which he did. He was caught up to the throne of God in a type of the second throne experience and stayed there only a few hours before returning. 20:17-26. He then passed on his spirit and authority to the disciples, 21-23, for a space of 40 days. Acts 1:3, which is the number of tribulation. This 40 days ministry represented the 40 years between Jesus' glorification and destruction of the harlot of apostate Israel in 70 AD. when the disciples escaped to the mountains representing heaven in perfect parallel after Moses, Moses's face shone. He also took Israel 40 years through the wilderness to the promised land with Jesus 40 day type that was for every day a year, as God said, Numbers 14 to verse 34. After the number of the days in which he spied out the land, even 40 days for every day a year, shall he bear your iniquities, even 40 years. That 40 years represented the last 3.5 years of the tribulation. Amen. Now we see.
Let's hold on just a minute. Has anybody got any questions about what's going on, what Ben just got through reading? You understand what's going on here? Okay, good deal. All right, Ben, go ahead.
Now we see that in type, Jesus also took them all the way through their tribulation to the promised land. He also appeared to the disciples to guide them in the book of Acts, which represented the second 3.5 years to show this type. Acts chapter 16, verse 7. And when they were come over against Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, and the Spirit of Jesus suffered them not. As further proof of this, after his glorification, he told them, I am with you always, Greek, all the days, even unto the end of the world, Greek, consummation of the age. Matthew 28-20, he said he would be with them all the days until the consummation of their age, which was 70 AD. When the harlot of apostate Israel was destroyed as the saints fled to the mountains at the end of their tribulation in parallel, we can see the end of the 7-year tribulation is all the days unto the consummation of the age of the church, when the modern day harlot will also be destroyed as the saints flee to the kingdom. From these types, we can see that the man-child will be with the woman church in various stages of sonship. Through the 7 years of tribulation, in the last 3.5 years, the man-child will be in the form that Jesus was during his 40-day ministry after the first 3.5 years of his ministry. In this form, Jesus walked through walls, John 20, verse 26. Jesus cometh, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst. However, Mary thought he was the gardener. Chapter 20, verse 15. The two disciples on the road to Emmaus walked with him. Emmaus walked with him, carried on a lengthy conversation, ate with him, and yet thought him merely human. Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 35. He was the manifested Son of God in spirit and soul, but not yet body. In type, at this end of the first 3.5 years, he still had flesh and bones. Luke chapter 24, verses 39. See my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye behold me having. This is the same state symbolized by Moses, glowing face as he carried Israel through the last half of their wilderness, by a distance symbolizing the last 3.5 years of our tribulation. That glowing face represented a glorified spirit and soul under a veil, which the Lord said was the flesh in Hebrews 10 and 20. The body glorification comes at the end of the 7 years when we shall all be changed to enter the promised land together. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump.
All right, let's talk about that. All right, do you see what he said? He said, this is the same state symbolized by Moses going face as he turned over through the last path of the wilderness by distance. So what he's saying is the glowing face represented the glorified spirit and soul under a veil, which the Lord said was the flesh of Hebrews 10 and 20. The body glorification comes at the end of the 7 years of the rapture, I guess. So it's going to be a glorified soul and spirit, according to this. But I'll tell you, I've talked with babies, and I'll have to go find out from them again. We'll see what happens. That third throne experience is when the body was glorified, not the second throne experience. It's the second throne experience, if you see this, of the glorified spirit and soul under the veil.
Hmm.
The light. That's the light. We talked about that the other day. That is the light. You'd be walking like Adam on that. Did y'all see that? Yeah, man.
So when Jesus was resurrected from the dead and he was seen by the disciples, like, you know, Mary, you know, and then the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they saw he still had flesh and bones, and he ate. So that was before his being caught up to Father, you know, after he had been dead and resurrected again. He was still on the earth for a period of time, and he was walking around in that body of flesh.
Yeah. Remember, he
then he got caught up to the throne. Yeah. Then he got caught up to the throne, which is the second throne room experience.
Third throne.
Third. I'm sorry. Third.
Yeah. That's the third throne.
Is he? So he was walking through walls.
Yeah. Yeah. I guess that's why I thought he was in the glorified body, but according to this, he wasn't.
He was walking through walls with flesh and bone.
Yeah. And he told Thomas, he said, Thomas, put your hand in the side here, boy. Look at these holes in my hands. Okay, that's good. We're getting some new revelation here. All right. That has been a long time. Go ahead, Ben. Anybody got any questions? Anybody got everything in line here? I hope. All right, Ben.
Briefly, there are three throne experiences in order to manifest Jesus or complete sonship in the man-child first fruits, who will then lead the bride these experiences. The first one is after the man-child's personal wilderness experience at the beginning of the tribulation and involves the full manifestation of Jesus in the Spirit. The second one is after bringing the people halfway through the tribulation and involves the full manifestation, Jesus in the soul. The third one is after the tribulation and involves the full manifestation of Jesus in the body. Meaning, the sons will have born again, heavenly body. The bride had a 7-day/year wedding feast before going to the groom's home. The bride has the position of sitting with the bridegroom/man-child in betrothal for the 7 days of the two throne experiences. But the marriage is not fulfilled until after the 7 days, when she sits with her husband in the third throne experience. After the 7 years of tribulation, we are told in Revelation 19 and 7, the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. This is the time when the whole bridal procession goes to the bridegroom's home, joined by the resurrected saints of old. It is here that some of those saints may have entered the bridal glory to join in that company, while others may be virgins or friends of the bridegroom. In that case, saying of John the Baptist would not be just a type. John chapter 3, verse 29, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom that standeth, heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because the bridegroom's voice, this my joy thereof, is made full. On the other hand, these are the days when the greatest revelation of the testimony of the word will manifest the Lord in the greatest body of believers the world has ever seen. 2 Thessalonians 1 and 10, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be marveled at him in all them that believed, because our testimony unto you was believed in that day. Branch on David's throne. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5, and she was delivered of a son, a man-child, who is through all the nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. The question needs to be answered, where is this heavenly throne of God? The next verse gives us a clue. Chapter 12, verse 6, and the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God, that there they may nourish her 1,260 days, 3.5 years. Notice that though the man-child was cut up to the throne, he is teaching the woman church for 3.5 years in the wilderness on earth. Here we clearly see the man-child is caught up before the 3.5 years, making this first throne experience, like Moses, Joseph, David, Paul, etc. had. Let's look at the foundation for Jesus's first throne experience before his 3.5 year ministry. David, as a man-child in type of Jesus, was anointed with the Holy Spirit to be king before he ruled God's people for 40 years, which is a type of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. Kings were called God's anointed. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13, then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon David. From that day forward, 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 1, David, the man who was raised on high, saith, the anointed of the God of Jacob. The Hebrew root word for anointed here is Mashiach, or Messiah. As a type of the man-child in whom Jesus lives, this anointed David was given into his personal wilderness before he overcame to sit on the throne of the kingdom. 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 46 to 47, which, as we saw, was God's throne on earth. 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 8, blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighted in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God. Notice that the Messiah and bridegroom are manifested on his throne in the Davidic body of the man-child. There's more. David was a type of the King of Kings, Psalm 89, verse 20. I have found David, my servant, with my holy oil have I anointed him. Verse 27, I also will make him my firstborn, the highest of the kings of the earth. The term highest of the kings of the earth has multiple meanings. Jesus is called the King of Kings 3 times in the New Testament. He ruled in David and will rule in the man-child as firstborn over the rest of the kings of the earth. All of God's children are given authority through the promises to rule as kings of the earth. Revelation chapter 5, verse 9, thou wast slain, didst purchase unto God with thy blood men of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation, and madest them to be unto our God a kingdom and priests, and they reign over the earth. They reign upon thee. Romans chapter 5, verse 17, for if by the trespass of the one death reigned through the one, much more shall they that receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one, even Jesus Christ. Those who reign in life upon the earth are kings from the highest to the lowest. The highest of the kings now is the spiritual seed of David who walk in his authority. Just as we are the seed of Abraham who walk in his faith, Psalm 89, verse 3, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build upon thy throne to all generations. The seed of David continued to be in his throne in every generation, even over the true church. Romans chapter 9, verse 8, that it is not the children of the flesh that are children of God, but the children of the promised are reckoned for a seed. The church is the children of the promise, who are the seed. In the New Testament, it is not children of the flesh of David that are the seed, but of the spirit of David through the promises. Galatians chapter 4, verse 28. Now we, brethren, as Isaac was, are children of the promise. Jesus.
Anybody got a question or comment about what's going on? Okay. I had one while ago. Okay, Bill, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Okay. Jesus was the anointed king before the tribulation of that day as a type of the man-child, and was prophesied to be the man-child to sit upon David's throne and reign over his people, both on earth and forever. Luke chapter 1, verse 31. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. Verse 32. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. Verse 33, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Just like David before him, Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit, sent into his personal wilderness to overcome the temptation of the flesh and the devil. His kingly anointing was to rule over God's people, and over the demons who administered the curse that held them captive. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He hath sent me to proclaim release to the captives, and recovering the sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Just like David and Joseph, Jesus began to reign at 30 years old. The time when one could become a rabbi. David reigned over all the tribes of God's people for 33 years before his death, and Jesus was also 33 at death. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4 to 5. Jesus, the man-child, came into the world to be king over the lost sheep out of the house of Israel. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16, but was rejected by the apostates. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11. Now Jesus stood there, the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, Thou sayest. In other words, you said it. Verse 37. And they set up over his head his accusation written, This is Jesus, the king of the Jews. At the end of the lineage of man-child overcomers will come a corporate body, born of the woman church, anointed to go through their own wilderness and sit in David's throne to repeat history or his story. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. Now he that establisheth us with you in Christ, an anointed Greek trio, us is God. Verse 22. Who also sealed us and gave us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Holy Spirit-filled believers are anointed as Christ was, using the same term for his name, in order to have his dominion beyond that former reign anointing. The man-child be the first to have the latter reign anointing. Notice that it is not just those who are anointed who are eligible, but those who are established to walk in Christ, which is to walk at even as he walked. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, Revelation chapter 3, verse 21. He that overcometh, I will give to him to sit down with me in my throne. Revelation chapter 12, verse 5. Her child was caught up unto God and unto his throne. As we are the spiritual offspring of Abraham, the father of us all, so some of us are the spiritual offspring of David. Just as such a group of people are prophesied to sit in David's throne. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stock, Hebrew stump, of Jesse, and a branch out of his roots shall bear fruit. Many have been told that this branch is Jesus, but he is said that in this chapter to be the most important root. Verse 10, the root of Jesse that standeth for an ensign of the peoples, unto him shall the nations see. Jesus said this was so. Revelation chapter 22, verse 16. I, Jesus, am the root and the offspring of David. That leaves us with finding out who this branch is that grows out of his roots. Jesus identified the individual branches as those who abide. John chapter 15, verse 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. The man-child, or branch, is the first fruits company in our day to manifestly abide in Christ by fully walking in his steps. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. These are the first fruits to abide in Christ by having the true doctrine that was given to the apostate, the apostles. Chapter 2, verse 24. As for you, let that abide in you which ye heard from the beginning. If that which ye heard from the beginning abide in you, ye also shall abide in the Son. These are the first fruits to abide in Christ by overcoming sin. Chapter 3, verse 6. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. The branch is the corporate body branches who will sit in David's throne to exercise the dominion already given to us by Christ when he said, as the Father hath sent me, even so send I you. John chapter 20, verse 21. The rest of Isaiah's text speaks of the Lord's exercise of his dominion through the branch by the latter rain anointing. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither decide after the hearing of his ears. But with the righteousness shall he judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his waist, and faithfulness the girdle of his loins.
If anybody's got any comments or questions, anybody got any comments or questions? Anybody understand what's going on here? I'll go ahead and read now. Then give you a little slide too. Years ago, a brother named Tubby shared a dream he had about me with these verses about the branch. I was facing David in my dream and saying, you remind me of someone I read about in the scripture. Then David said to me, yeah, I know him. Isaiah 11, 1 through 5. And then he quoted it to me. Then I said, yep, that's the very scripture. I hasten to say that I, along with many others, have been called to this because God chooses the foolish, weak, base, and despised of the world so that no flesh should glory. 1 Corinthians 1:27-29. Among those who are called to this position, only those who overcome by grace will be chosen. As we saw in the second key to hidden manna, in Scripture, bodies of people are called by the name of their spiritual or physical father in whose steps they walk. Early one morning, the Lord spoke to me and he said, I am moving the Sauls out of the way to make room for the Davids, and you're one of my Davids. That very evening, there began to be revealed in the news a rash of nationally known minister scandals in which quite a few Sauls fell from grace. Clearly, there is a corporate body of Davids, a branch coming to the first throne experience to replace a corporate body of Sauls that would not obey God. Once I was praying for the Lord to help me to be what he wanted, he impressed me to open my Bible blindly and put my finger down and fell on this verse, 2 Chronicles 9:8. Blessed be the Lord thy God, who delighted in thee to set thee on his throne to be king for the Lord thy God, because thy God loved Israel to establish them forever. Therefore made he thee king over them to do justice and righteousness. And later the Lord gave me the same verse in the same way. I was reluctant and embarrassed to share these things, but the Lord revealed to me that Joseph, as a man-child, was brought to the throne because he told his brethren of his dream of reigning over them. Genesis 37:5-11. Joseph's persecution at their hands began in earnest because of his revelation, just as it was with Jesus and David and will be with the blacks. Well, I'm going to stop right there. Let me go one more paragraph. To get over to the next page. The Saul ministry represents the apostate shepherds that have kept the obedient shepherds in their wilderness as it was with David. However, the anointing and maturity will come to this branch, and they will be a corporate body through whom the Lord will rule his kingdom on earth. Jeremiah 23:2. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, against the shepherds that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord, and I will set up shepherds over them who shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall any be lacking, saith the Lord. Then the Lord explains that these new shepherds are the corporate branch. Verse 5, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king, and deal wisely, and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. I'm going to stop right there. All right. Anybody got any questions? Any answers? Any comments? Are y'all liking this? Everybody liking this? Give me a thumbs up if you like it. If not, we'll go on to something else. All right. That's good. Well, let me say this. Sometimes when people listen to this stuff and read this stuff, it might go against something that they've believed before. But if you look at the scriptures that David quotes here, all you have to do is look at the scriptures, and it tells the story. But anyway, anybody got anything they want to say before we close out? Or pray for? Well, I'll pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for this truth that we're seeing here. We thank you for all the time spent that David had to and gaining and garnering these fruits. And Father, we praise you for that. And we thank you, Lord, that the anointing of the man, child, and the bride is very soon. And Father, we thank you for that. We thank you, Lord, that those people out there that are listening, that this may have come against something that they believe, that they would just check the scriptures out. And Father, we thank you for that, because the scriptures speak for themselves. And we praise you, we glorify you for all that you're doing in this revelation of the hidden man that you have given David. And now us. And we praise you for it, Father. We thank you, Lord, for the anointing of the man, child, and the bride very quickly. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for blessing our night tonight. Or our day today, whatever it is, wherever you are. And Lord, we thank you for doing that. In Jesus' name.